Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk joining you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. Appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip through the drive-thru at Strange Brew Coffeehouse in Starkville or Tupelo. If you can't make it there, well, they can make it to you. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com and order. And that includes the new K-Cups, which just continue to fly off the shelves. The one of the greatest innovations of the 21st century, the Strange Brew Coffeehouse K-Cup. I put it right up there with the iPhone and wireless internet. I'm just that's just being real. So if you haven't already, make your order at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. New year, new gear. We're not too far from the first baseball game of the season now. You're going to want to come to Activity Noble with some brand new stuff. Make sure you're picking that up at College Corner because they have the biggest and best selection of maroon and white merchandise in central Mississippi. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com and pick out that brand new shirt, hat, or whatever it is you're looking for the car, for your house, for your tailgate, whatever it is, they've got it at College Corner. It was Wing Wednesday at Humble Taco today. Hope you guys took advantage of that. Some of their Mexican smoked wings were just really, really great. Something different, something delicious. And that's something you're always going to get at Humble Taco. It's not your ordinary Mexican restaurant. You're not going in there for the number 31 with extra beans and no rice. You got a lot of different menu options you've probably never seen before, but you're going to want to try them out. Next time you're in Starkville, make it a point to stop by Humble Taco, Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. If you're looking for an easy and great solution for lunch today, I suggest Firehouse Subs. Just download the Firehouse Subs app, place your order so that it'll be ready when you pick it up. And the great thing is you're piling up reward points when you use that app quicker than just about any other app out there on the market. Locations in Starkville, Columbus, Tupelo, Flowood, Madison, and Oxford. That's Firehouse Subs. Go grab us some lunch today. We're going to give you guys a great show for about 30 minutes, and then we're just going to toss it in the last 10. We're just going to say the hell with it. We're going to start cussing out loud. I'm going to make some offensive jokes that Robbie's mom is not going to like. Robbie is going to call me fat for the next 10 minutes, you know, something like that.
That would be the Mississippi State basketball experience, yeah, Brian.
We just wanted to be the same. So,
for God's sakes, just do not talk about Iverson Molinar shooting threes.
I want to issue a correction. So, I do have a question, though. You said that a lot of people were complaining. I just saw Houston Smith on Twitter. Where were people complaining?
There's a thread on our board about how terrible our show was the other day.
On the basketball board?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Never look. Yeah. Never look at the basketball board. Okay.
I thought it was an okay show, other than the fact that I was completely duped by Quanzo Martin.
He's not been fired. Tweet. Yeah.
Yeah, I was completely duped by that, and I took responsibility for that. But that was
– I actually asked Richard about that the next day on the show. I was like, hey, is Quanzo Martin still the coach there? Because he had told me, he had said on a previous show, his contract is set up where they legally can't fire him before the end of this season. Some crazy contract. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So
I want to issue a correction. Let me do that. That I was wrong about Iverson Molinar's stats regarding the 3-point shot. I know where I got it wrong. I misread a tweet, and the person in the tweet was saying that he had been more selective as of late. And I just misread that as this season. My bad. It happens. Molinar's 3-point shooting not good, and not good in the second half tonight. Mississippi State, I mean, they botched it. Now,
they didn't botch it. Okay. They blew it.
Hey, we're putrid in the second half.
You blew it.
Let's say this. You and I talked about this previously. You could go 1-1 this week if the one was Ole Miss. You got to beat Ole Miss. You could lose this game. It was a good chance to get a good win, but you could afford to lose this game this week. You could. There's two issues. One, you have to beat Ole Miss on Saturday. You have to beat them because it's not going to be good. And secondly, from a perception standpoint, Robbie, and I, this is one of the issues I have with Howland. And I, somebody tweeted at me about it, and this is something I don't know that I've said it this year with you on the show, but I know that I've said it in the past. It feels like every time Ben Howland is rolling the rock up the hill, right when he's about to get to the top of the hill, he falls back down. You're up 7 points with 7 minutes to go on the road. You've been playing well the whole game. You've led most of the game. And then you just give it away. I thought the play of the game for me, Robbie, you tell me if you disagree. State goes up 7, and then on the next possession, Shaquille Moore fouls a 3-point shooter, and it's a 4-point play. That happened against Alabama, and Moore was very lucky that that shot didn't go in because it would have changed the game there. Got to have more basketball IQ there, don't you?
Yeah, but this happens all the time. They are so bad defending the 3-point shot.
Mm.
Even when they're in someone's face, they're fouling them. I mean, I don't understand this defense. How many times in that game were they just, you know, late closing in on a 3-point shooter or somebody's cutting in the lane and you see somebody running wide open? I mean, Florida missed some opportunities with that too. But, I mean, State was lucky that Alabama had a bad night last week. How many open threes did they get? It's just this team is not good defending. And I'm sure someone will come up with some stat on our website that says that I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just using my eyes in the games that I've watched this year. They don't defend the 3-point shot well. They don't. It seems like there's times where they can't. They're not defending off a ball screen well. Like they just
they don't get tight enough to the shooter off these screens. Like, they give them too much room.
Yeah, and you would think like my thought when I think of Ben Howland is. Good defensive coach.
This is sort of the issue we have with Leach last year, right? But you think, okay, remember going into last season, 2020 season, you're thinking, okay, it's Mike Leach, right? So State will score a bunch of points this year, but defensively they won't be very good. And then they were good defensively. So you think, okay, they should win, but they weren't because the offense was – when you hire Mike Leach, you have expectations of good offense. Ben Howland is known as a defensive coach, but this team is just not very good defensively. And then offensively, the lack of perimeter shooting, it's 2022.
Yeah, they got to get
a three-point shot is a bigger part of the game as it's ever been. So, again, this was not a – you know, this isn't a game where you just go ahead and scratch things off, right? But this was – you had the game in your hand, and you gave it back to them. And here's the issue for State. They play Ole Miss on Saturday. They're going to be favored in that game. But then they're at Kentucky, at Texas Tech, South Carolina at home, at Fayetteville for Arkansas, Tennessee at home, and then at Baton Rouge. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're going to be an underdog in 5 of your next 6 games. And State has not been great as an underdog this year.
And they were underdog coming in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But it changed pregame when we knew that Castleton wasn't going to play. There was your opportunity. But
and then
it's
everybody
almost like that. It's almost like that played worse in Mississippi State's favor.
Well, it forced
it's almost like that was like a
3-point shooting team.
Yes, and Mississippi State has been awful against 3-point shooters. So, I mean, would they have had a better shot against Castleton? I don't know, but they certainly changed the way that they played that game based on missing Castleton.
Yeah,
and it worked in their favor. I mean, they shot – they made 6 more three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
They made 10 more free throws.
Yeah.
And
which is incredible, by the way. A team shooting three-pointers should not be getting more free throws than you.
Well, there was times where they were getting inside, and Mississippi State was not defending very well on the inside.
Well,
State did their job in the paint. I mean, the State got a 14-point advantage in the paint, but – three-pointers are greater than twos.
Yeah, they just are.
I mean, State's been really efficient on the offensive side of the ball, but when you're focusing on efficiency, I had this conversation on our board when we had our the last people that called us out for things that we're saying, I had this conversation about the efficiency. Mississippi State's efficiency numbers are really high. They're very good at half-court offense right now, which debunked, to that point, debunked some things that I said about Mississippi State in half-court. But when you do that, when you're efficient like that, you have to be good on the defensive side of the ball. When you don't have an explosive offense that can hit, a three at any moment, can go on a big run and things like that, and you're focused on the efficiency of a half-court offense and Tolu Smith or Iverson Molinar getting a good mid-range jumper or something like that, you better be defending your butt off on the other end. And right now, State's not doing that. They give up 51% shooting. They give up 10 three-pointers. They fouled too much. And that happened against Alabama, too. I mean, there were some possessions that they didn't play. Now, they defended really well in the second half against Alabama, but 45 points in the second half to Florida. You get outscored by 14.
Yeah.
And and late in the ball game was an absolute just
a train wreck.
Disgrace. I mean, what happened?
You got it right here. Our Theo DeRosa just tweets, up 7 with 7:20 to go. I mean, you got to feel pretty good the way you've played the whole game. You've led since 22-19.
They kept punching, and Mississippi State would always punch back and push it right back out.
Until they didn't. And then they says, then the Florida goes on a 20-2 run. And that's the end of the game. And
you can't recover from that on the road.
And then with Molinar, I thought Molinar played some of his best basketball of the season in the first half. Found open looks, was getting easy shots, was finding his teammates. I thought, okay, he's playing pretty well. And then I thought Shaquille Moore, watching the first half, Robbie, my thoughts of like, what are we going to talk about on the podcast was, we said there's always going to be that complimentary guy to Molinar. It was Shaquille Moore in the first half. But yep. Molinar was completely iced out in the second half. Give Michael White and his staff credit. They threw a 1-3-1 out there. I mean, at that point, you might as well just show up with a gun. Yeah, you just shoot everybody. There's no chance for State to get through that. So he made some changes. He gave out some different defensive looks. It confused State, and they just got away with it. At the 7:20 mark, my thoughts about what we're going to talk about today were State's run some good offensive sets. They're doing a good job getting the ball down low to Tolu Smith. They're playing good defense. This is a pretty complete win at the rate it's going. And then it wasn't. So now there's pressure. Look, Ole Miss, I don't know if they're the worst team in the conference, but they're really close to it. I mean, I don't know who's worse than them.
If you just would have won that ball game at Ole Miss, this game wouldn't have been that important.
Right. Well, no, it would still be important because they're going to
– As important is what I'm saying. This game would have been a quad one win, so it just would have really improved Mississippi State's resume.
Yeah.
But you have that awful loss against Ole Miss now on your resume, and that loss is only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to win on Saturday. And, I mean, I just – this game was just right there for the taking for Mississippi State, and they just flat blew it. And – I'm at the point now, Brian, I've always I've kind of been even keel on this and said, let's just wait and see Mississippi State as they come together as a team and everybody gets healthy and kind of see what happens because I feel like this team's going to get better and better.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of is what it is, man. I mean, this is year 7 under Ben Howland, and this stuff is still happening. It doesn't matter who the personnel is or anything like that. This is a script that has been written and rewritten and rewritten and performed every single year.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to change.
Ole Miss 1-4 in conference play. They've scored 60 against Tennessee, 51 on A&M, 53 on Missouri, who's awful. They had a decent offensive game against Auburn. But most of that was in the first half. In the second half, Auburn really controlled that game. And then you look at the State game, and they scored 82.
It's a complete fluke.
Right.
It's a complete fluke. But it happens every year.
Well, and one thing with Ole Miss, and not that Brian Tyree's a scrub, but there's always that one guy, right? It's not that Ole Miss plays a good team game against Mississippi State. They have a bunch of guys in double figures. It's one guy has 30 points. What was his name? Stenson, right? What was the kid's name?
Henson.
Blake Henson. Having almost 30 points. It's Brian Tyree going for 40. It's Devontae Shuler having a big game. It's this kid Morrell, who averages 7 points a game, having 30 against Mississippi State.
And look what he's done since. He had 11 against A&M, 13 against Auburn, okay, but he was 3 for 10, and 6 points against Missouri in 32 minutes. Yeah. And he's shooting, 5 for 20 in his last two games. 5 for 20.
And he was, what, 10 of 10 against Mississippi State? Something like that, 10 of 11?
He was 10 for 11 against Mississippi State. It was a complete freak, fluke ball game that happens every year against Mississippi State. And, 37 minutes in that game, went 10 for 11, and he has not made 10 shots in his last three games combined.
One other thing to think about, we talked about this Florida game wasn't going to really affect what happened Saturday attendance-wise, and now I think it might. I think losing the game like that, people are like, I don't know.
Yeah. This fan base is so fickle with this.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't blame them.
Fickle.
But they're so fickle with Ben Howland.
Mm-hmm.
You have to build like three straight wins,
there'd be 10,000 people there.
It'd be packed.
Yeah.
That is how seesaw this is.
Yeah.
And again, I cannot blame this fan base for thinking that.
Yeah.
It's hard to continue to shame people for not coming to games when this is what you get.
Yeah.
Who wants to get behind this? Who wants to just get fully behind this only to know what's going to happen? They've done nothing to prove that anything could be different.
Right.
I cannot blame these fans for not wanting to waste their hard-earned money on watching that.
State is 12-5 now, right? So let's say they beat Ole Miss on Saturday. They're 13-5. If the Vegas odds hold on February the 18th, I guess I actually can count this game at Tuscaloosa. State will be an underdog in that game. So at Kentucky, at Texas Tech, South Carolina at home. That's three. Arkansas on the road, Tennessee at home, LSU on the road, Alabama on the road. That's seven games. State's 13-5 after Saturday. They're likely going to be 14-11.
You don't have opportunities. You don't have opportunities like you did on Wednesday.
No.
This was the time to get a good road win.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to lose at Kentucky. You're probably going to lose at Texas Tech, but you take that.
Yeah.
Sitting there. If you can beat Florida, you can beat Ole Miss. You're sitting there at, 4-2 in the SEC at that point. You don't have a whole lot of bad losses. Everything looks manageable, but these opportunities are slipping away it's going to be tough to imagine Mississippi State going to Alabama and getting a win. It's going to be tough to imagine Mississippi State going to LSU, going to Kentucky and getting wins, going to Arkansas, beating Auburn at home. It's tough to see those as wins. You can pick up wins at Missouri, and you play Missouri twice. Those are very winnable ball games, both of them. You play South Carolina twice.
Yeah, State could come out of that stretch we just discussed, right? After Alabama, the next four are Missouri, because they have the makeup game in there. South Carolina, Vanderbilt. Could go 4-0 in that. And now all of a sudden, let's play it out, right? You're 18-11. But then your last two games are Auburn, who should be the number one team in the nation, and Texas A&M, who is, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, pretty good. They're 15-2, and as we speak right now, they're leading Kentucky.
Yep, that looked like a win, but now I don't know.
That's at College Station.
Yep.
So, if you finish 18-13, you're not going to the NCAA tournament.
No.
So what has to happen?
That might have been an NCAA tournament. That might have been on the bubble, in 2004, 2005. Not anymore.
So what's got to happen in this seven-game stretch? You got to beat South Carolina for sure. That absolutely has to happen. Seven games. You got to find at least one more win. Maybe two, but of Kentucky, Texas Tech, Arkansas, Tennessee, LSU, Alabama. You need to pick up a win in there, and it maybe two.
And here's why we say, losing to Minnesota and Colorado State, those winnable games, getting blown out by Louisville, who is actually that's actually killing Mississippi State right now. They dropped in the net the other day because Louisville is continues to drop like a rock. Those games, when you lose those games, it gives you very little margin of error in SEC play. It's why 2 years ago Mississippi State was a top four team in the SEC, and they were barely on the bubble. You know, they had to win ball games, at least win one game to start feeling okay in the SEC tournament. So those games hurt you as the season goes on. They might not hurt as much because I think you can take into account Tolu Smith was hurt and all that stuff because right. The committee does do that stuff.
And if State was going to finish the season 21-9, the committee would absolutely look at the games Tolu Smith didn't play in and say, okay, or look at the Louisville game and go, that was his first game back, and give you some room with that, some wiggle room. But when you're going to finish 18-13, 19-12, you're not going to get that.
Yeah. And when you can't just say – you can't just expect Mississippi State is going to get some upset wins down the stretch, because Ben Howland has not got a bunch of those in his career here. You know, it's a top 25 wins aren't just, you know, stacked up by Ben Howland here. So it's hard to say, well, he could get some upsets here down the stretch. We don't know that. There's not a whole lot of evidence for that. So at this point, I mean, Mississippi State is in trouble here, and I don't want to put too much on this game. It's still early in the SEC schedule, but it's just the schedule is so difficult. It's these kind of games matter. They add up, and you have to build as many of these wins as possible. This is a quad one win opportunity, and they did.
You had a 7-point lead with 7 minutes to go with.
Yes.
It's a giveaway. And simple as that.
And listen, I thought I was leaning towards Florida winning this game going in until the Castleton news came in. With Castleton out, the opportunity was right there for the taking for State. They had all the advantages in the post, you know, to kind of play their game. You got to take advantage of that. You cannot collapse like that, like they did. And they just absolutely imploded right there in front of everybody. Yeah. It's like that 4-point play, like, was just like a live explosion.
Yeah.
Like,
when that happened, I was like, okay, that's the momentum has completely swung to.
I mean, that was the game. Yeah. And they were still up by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the game. They lost the game right there, pretty much. I mean, they never recovered from that.
Yeah.
Florida, I think, went on a 10-0 run. It was just State. Well, like just you said, never.
They went on a 20-2 run from that point. So
that's bad.
A rough game for Mississippi State. Game they had it in their hands, and they just let it get away. Back at it, 3:00 at the Hump against the Ole Miss Rebels. And
woo-hoo.
You know, I know, right? But they got to win. They got to win. If they don't win, you can just go. We can go ahead and start talking about. All right, it's time to start talking about baseball.
It's time for baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's start breaking down the who's going to be the bullpen catcher.
You see the commitment tonight?
I did not see who it was. I've been doing that YouTube.
Let me see if I find his name again. I think it was Makai something or other.
Makai Polk has committed to baseball.
No, Makai Grant, 2023 kid. Nothing big, only, you know, 6'3", 210, throwing 93 as a 16-year-old. No big deal, right?
Meh.
So there's another kid, right? Another guy, like, becomes the campus. Lamonis is killing it. He's absolutely killing it right now. Like, getting that championship has unlocked everything.
That was just an absolute, like, it's just created a gold rush.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the recruiting classes down the line, I mean, there's nobody that's going to be complaining about these. You know, that we need to get bigger guys that can hit, bigger guy. I mean, these dudes are monsters. Now, they're not going to get them all to campus, but
I don't know, man. You might want to have some small guys. They win you some games.
That's true. They win you some national championships. But yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous what Chris Lemonis is doing. He's in such a groove right now. And that's like Jake Gautreau, I mean, keeps turning down these jobs. I mean, why would you leave at this point? You have a better job right now.
Jake Gautreau will only leave for like an SEC, for like a big head coaching job at this point.
Yeah. I mean, you're just leaving for like a good Power Five job because you have a better job right now as a Mississippi State assistant.
You got a ton of money, and I mean, you got players. So.
And such an easy sell now that you've won a national title.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on into the second half of the show. That's brought to you by our good friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef is what's for dinner. When you head to the grocery store, put some beef in the cart, a couple of steaks, a big pot roast, maybe some burgers. Whatever you're doing, you're cooking your family a nutritious and delicious meal, and you're helping out 15,000 of your fellow Mississippians who are in the beef industry, doing nearly $500 million a year's worth of business to our agriculture here in Mississippi. So, beef, everybody loves it. Everybody loves the sizzle of beef on the grill. Everybody likes to come home and find out you got a big pot of chili or a big pot of beef stew on a cold winter night. Whatever it is you're looking for, beef is a great answer for you. Go to msbeef.org if you're looking for recipes or more information about the beef farmers here in our state. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. That's the place to find smoked Southern soul food. And when you want to eat good, you go to Two Brothers. I tell you, every time, anytime somebody comes into town, anytime somebody's in Starkville, they're like, if they reach out to me and they're like, hey, where should I go eat? Two Brothers is always the first, one of the first names I put out there on the list. And it should be for you too. Next time you're up here, go grab some smoked wings, some pork rind quesadillas, and a delicious sandwich or burger at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. It doesn't get any easier than what Advantage Business Systems offers you. Great products and great service. When they can offer a selection of products like they can, all of the best top-of-the-line copiers, printers, computers, software, anything your business needs. And then when the sale is made, it's not just, here's our 1-800 number, and you can call our call center over in God knows where, and they'll take care of you. No, no. You're going to call a local number. You're going to talk to somebody here in the state of Mississippi, and they're going to get you squared away right away. That's the difference that Advantage Business Systems can give you. Call them today and find out what 47 years of experience looks like. That number is 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. We were just talking about baseball recruiting, but let's talk about some football recruiting. This is sort of a really poorly kept secret, Robbie, and you alluded to it several times during the past couple of weeks when we would talk about recruiting and talk about the transfer portal. But Massimo Biscardi, yes, I'm doing the thing with my hands. Oh, I think when a field goal is good, instead of the hands in the air, they should just do the Italian thing there. And then when he misses, the ref gets on the mic and goes, oh!
Just start throwing spaghetti at him.
Oh, my gosh. So many jokes we can make. Stephen Agostinelli is very triggered right this second. From Coastal Carolina, which has been a pretty prolific offense over the past couple of years. I love the 24/7 transfer portal. It's a rating of 70. Guy's the best kicker in the transfer portal. Over there, he's a 70. So.
Well, he's no JJ Pegues.
When you can make 16 tackles in 2 years, but we said going into this, offensive line, kicker, those were your two big problem areas that you had to address in the transfer portal. State has really done that. They've gotten three guys. They've got two preferred walk-ons. Gabriel, what's the last name on that?
Thank you. I don't know.
That's recruiting expert Robbie Falk.
Placencia. Right,
thank you. Yeah. And today, picked up another player, another preferred walk-on punter. I believe Ben Canyon, is that his name? Am I getting that right?
Who's better than Canyon? He's got an excellent mustache, too. I don't know if he's going to be I don't know if he's going to be punter. I don't know if he's going to be punter. I tweeted punter honestly because I saw Paul tweet punter, so I blame him. I was looking at his numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he might be maybe like a kickoff guy. He had a bunch of kickoffs at Northern Colorado. Is that where he's from?
Yes. Do I have his name right? That's the question I had. Ben Rayburn. See, now I knew it was bad. Ben. I knew I didn't have it right. And then you said who better than Canyon? And I'm like, oh, I hope it's Canyon, but it's not. It's Ben Rayburn.
I was even wrong on that.
That is a killer stash, though.
That mustache is incredible.
I don't know his name, but the guy, remember the guy from Ole Miss cross country or from track and field a few years back? You know what I'm talking about? This is a similar stash to that. But
he had a mullet, too.
You're right. State has a stash of kickers now. They have a lot of options. Mike Leach won at competition. He's going to have it now this offseason with these three guys. So, again, if you were going to grade State in the portal, I don't think you can go higher than B because they haven't gotten that offensive lineman yet. But it's a strong B. The players they have gotten are good players, and they addressed the biggest issue, or the two biggest issues, the kicker issue.
It's just a good, well-rounded class that it's not going to blow you away, but it's hit on your needs.
Mm-hmm.
You've got wide receiver talent. You got your quarterback. You got offensive linemen. You got defensive linemen, linebackers. You've got your defensive backs that you needed. Probably need to add another safety. You're trying to get another offensive tackle. But, I mean, you've done a really good job here with special teams, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Placencia, by all means, looks like he's going to come in and compete for kickoff, maybe even punting duties.
Yeah.
I think this guy could probably compete for punting and kickoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Massimo, you feel like is going to be guaranteed a starting spot. I mean, his numbers have been fantastic since he's been at Coastal Carolina. And I know we don't rank kickers very high to begin with, but a guy that's got game changing potential like that, it almost seems like you should give him a little more credit, than he actually gets. He's had a 50-plus yard field goal every single year he's played. His numbers are really consistent across the board. And, he's got a big leg and he's consistent. I think this guy can come in right away and make a difference for Mississippi State.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I like this class. Marcus Banks, probably a starter. Jackie Matthews, probably a starter. The two receivers, we'll see what kind of depth they can provide. Robinson is the guy I think has an opportunity, when he comes in. And we were talking about him before the show. If you follow Joel T. Coleman on Twitter, he did an article, with all the new additions. Robinson's a guy that he just committed this past weekend. The rest of these guys have already sort of been on board with Mississippi State, all their paperwork done. So no worries with Justin Robinson not being announced yet. It's just a matter of getting everything taken care of and getting him enrolled and things like that. But
we're waiting on Jackie Matthews too.
Oh, Matthews isn't in yet as well? Okay.
I might be wrong, but I think.
Regardless.
But I'm not worried about either one of them.
I'm not worried about that. Robinson's the guy that, he's got the ceiling, I think, to be an impact contributor. He's got the pedigree if he was, committed to Jordan, signed with Georgia. So you got to think that, there's an opportunity there with Malik Heath and Mekhi Polk going out. Those outside receiver spots, they need a guy out there. So we'll see what the spring brings. Spring practice will be interesting. There'll be some real position battles to watch for Mississippi State.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You have a few different wide receivers that I think need to step up. But you look at the talent there. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking on paper, which that doesn't really tell the whole story, but it does mean something mm-hmm. when you talk about stars. You look on paper, this is the most talented and deepest group of wide receivers Mississippi State's ever had. With all these four stars that they have, former four-star guys. And I like the mix of at wide receiver, the size and speed. They have guys with size. You have Justin Robinson's and – Caleb Ducking and Antonio Harmon.
Duck it out in there. Okay.
I'm just talking about size guys. Yeah. And I do think Caleb Ducking has potential.
Mm.
He just needs the opportunity. And this year is a big year for him. But you know, you talk about those guys with size, Antonio Harmon, Justin Robinson, Caleb Duncan, and they've added now to the mix some real speed guys in this class, guys that I think can take the top off of defense. So it's an interesting group of wide receivers. I think there's going to be some good battles there. Of course, the tackles is going to be really interesting for Mississippi State. You really need Percy Lewis to come in this spring and just look like a stud.
Yeah.
You need him come in and you need to say, unquestionably, he is your left tackle.
Yeah.
And you need whoever's competing at right tackle to come in and lock that down.
And you don't defensive need back. With Lewis, you don't even need him to be – he's not going to be Charles Cross. He's just not.
Can he be solid?
Let me use a name here. If he's Blaine Clausell, is he good enough?
Was Blaine Clausell great in pass coverage?
I mean, 2014.
I mean pass blocking.
State was a good passing team that year.
Yeah.
You're just good just enough.
Just don't be, I said it on YouTube, don't be a turnstile.
Exactly.
Don't be a guy that's constantly looking over your shoulder and Will Rogers is laying on the ground. More often than not, throughout a game, he needs to have Will Rogers upright. And that's the key. But another thing is Will's got to get the ball out quicker. They've got to you shouldn't ask your offensive line to block that long. So it kind of goes both ways. But, yeah, you just need him to be pretty good. He doesn't have to be elite. Doesn't have to be one of the highest-graded blockers in the country. Just be pretty good.
We'll see what happens. All right. Tomorrow's show, Friday show, we'll go ahead and really preview again this Mississippi State Ole Miss game. Huge game for the Bulldogs this Saturday at the Hump. Probably talk a little more football and let's talk a little more baseball as well as we keep getting closer to opening day at Duty Noble Field. We didn't talk about it, but you know Robbie did nail it about being a top five team. So we'll sort of look at the SEC we'll do a little baseball talk on Friday show. Guys, have a great Thursday. Back with you on Friday for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.